Odor of Chrysanthemums by D.H. Lawrence. 1. The small locomotive engine, number 4, came clanking, stumbling down from Selston, with 7 full wagons. It appeared round the corner with loud threats of speed, but the colt that it startled from among the gorse, which still flickered indistinctly in the raw afternoon, outdistanced it at a canter. A woman walking up the railway line to Underwood drew back into the hedge, held her basket aside, and watched the footplate of the engine advancing. The trucks thumped heavily past one by one, with slow, inevitable movement, as she stood insignificantly trapped between the jolting black wagons and the hedge. Then they curved away towards the coppice, where the withered oak leaves dropped noiselessly, while the birds, pulling at the scarlet hips beside the track, made off into the dusk that had already crept into the spinney. In the open, the smoke from the engine sank and cleaved to the rough grass. The fields were dreary and forsaken, and in the marshy strip that led to the Whimsey, a reedy pit pond, the fowls had already abandoned their run among the alders to roost in the tarred fowlhouse. The pit bank loomed up beyond the pond, flames like red sores licking its ashy sides in the afternoon's stagnant light. Just beyond rose the tapering chimneys and the clumsy black headstocks of Brinsley Colliery. The two wheels were spinning fast up against the sky, and the winding engine rapped out its little spasms. The miners were being turned up. The engine whistled as it came into the wide bay of railway lines beside the colliery, where rows of trucks stood in harbour. Miners, single, trailing and in groups, passed like shadows diverging home. At the edge of the ribbed level of sidings squat a low cottage, 3 steps down from the cinder track. A large bony vine clutched at the house as if to claw down the tiled roof. Round the bricked yard grew a few wintry primroses. Beyond, the long garden sloped down to a bush-covered brook course. There were some twiggy apple trees, wintercrack trees, and ragged cabbages. Beside the path hung dishevelled pink chrysanthemums, like pink cloths hung on bushes. A woman came stooping out of the felt-covered fowlhouse halfway down the garden. She closed and padlocked the door, then drew herself erect, having brushed some bits from her white apron. She was a tall woman of imperious mien, handsome, with definite black eyebrows. Her smooth black hair was parted exactly. For a few moments she stood steadily watching the miners as they passed along the railway. Then she turned towards the brook course. Her face was calm and set. Her mouth was closed with disillusionment. After a moment she called, "John?" There was no answer. She waited, and then said distinctly, "Where are you?"
"Here,"
replied a child's sulky voice from among the bushes. The woman looked piercingly through the dusk.
"Are you at that brook?"
she asked sternly. For answer, the child showed himself before the raspberry canes that rose like whips. He was a small, sturdy boy of 5. He stood quite still, defiantly.
"Oh," said the mother, conciliated, "I thought you were down at that wet brook, and you remember what I told you?"
The boy did not move or answer.
Come on in," she said more gently. "It's getting dark. There's your grandfather's engine coming down the line."
The lad advanced slowly with resentful, taciturn movement. He was dressed in trousers and waistcoat of cloth that was too thick and hard for the size of the garments. They were evidently cut down from a man's clothes. As they went slowly towards the house, he tore at the ragged wisps of chrysanthemums and dropped the petals in handfuls along the path.
"Don't do that. It does look nasty," said his mother.